I'm not sure if I mentioned it before, but when my friend Clay Mason Bannerman and I want to impress our new lady friends, Tiffer and Mickey, we don't even have to take them to a restaurant. That's because we have an entire freezer stocked full of ButcherBox, and that includes high-quality meat and seafood that we can trust. It's so convenient. It's delivered right to our doorstep, and there's always free shipping. I mean, where else can you get free protein for a whole year? Tiffer and Mickey love it, and so will you. At least one of them is always around asking when the new ButcherBox is arriving. Sign up at butcherbox.com/mega and get our special deal. ButcherBox is offering our listeners a free for a year offer plus an additional $20 off. Choose salmon, chicken breast, or steak tips free in every order for a year. Sign up today at butcherbox.com/mega and use code MEGA to choose your free for a year offer plus $20 off your first order. Thanks, ButcherBox.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Forget the frustration of picking commerce platforms when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that supercharges your selling wherever you sell. With Shopify, you'll harness the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. Sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/tech, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/tech.
At Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care, and we're doing everything in our power to make it possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best? It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI? It's possible. Because we're already doing it, all while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
Family meeting. We got to talk about one of your favorite podcasts.
Family meeting. Did you have family meetings? Family meeting.
Yeah, and it always meant that one of us kids had done something terribly wrong, and everyone had to sit down and like listen to us talk through what we did and what our punishment was going to be.
I don't think I ever had a family meeting. It's something that feels like I should have, but we never did. Anyway, folks, this is the Mega Mini. This usually gets delivered to Patreon members, but this week we're dropping it into a midweek bonus episode because we've got some news. We're pregnant.
Oh, my gosh. That's not even funny.
We are...
I'm child-free. They know I'm not a breeder.
We're putting out a mini-series, and it comes out not... this Sunday, but next Sunday, May 21st. And it is the much anticipated, at least by us, and long awaited rise and fall of Twin Hills. And we're going to jump on here and talk about it for a second.
Yeah, this was Greg's brainchild during the pandemic after listening to a mini series that Christianity Today put out called The Rise and Fall of Mars Hill, a docu-style podcast made by CT, formerly known as Christianity Today, but maybe they think that first word is a bad word now or something, socially, culturally?
CT.
CT. Now,
CT, it's like GQ for Christians.
And I think part of their posture in it was they were like, we want to be the type of Christians who are transparent and expose things and talk about it and whatever. Full disclosure, I couldn't even get through the whole thing because it just kept making my brain leak out of my ears to even hear Mark Driscoll's voice.
And if you don't know who Mark Driscoll is, just go look up a couple of clips. It'll probably explain everything.
He's one of those white dude megachurch pastors who was so toxic he blew up one megachurch filled with thousands and thousands of people, and then now just is promptly leading another one, and for some reason people still listen to this person. But, I mean, are we surprised?
Yeah, I think part of the challenge was how do you do a podcast that's inspired clearly by another podcast within the world of an already fictional podcast and make
a satirical podcast making a parody podcast?
Yeah, making it something that still feels fresh. And
I think we cracked the nut on it. It's been really fun. It's a combination of written and improvised, sort of a hybrid model. And we've been able to, I think, set the table in a way that feels like it pays homage to that first podcast, but isn't boxed in by the outcomes of that podcast. No spoilers for this thing, but we've had some really amazing people jump in. We have an amazing theme song, and it just has felt like, I think after doing 200 plus episodes of Mega, it just felt like a new way to think about the world we created and also provide some new commentary on something that feels ongoing.
Yeah, I don't want to build it up too much because I feel like expectations.
People will be like,
everything.
And we hate it.
But I really do. I feel nervous about it, which to me is always the sign that we're onto something. And also, it's so twisted. And I love that about it. And I think it's, I just really like its voice. I'm really impressed with everything you've done with it. Yeah, we have great guests.
And
we,
if you're newish to Mega, I think you know that Steve, lead pastor Steve, has never darkened the doorway of this podcast, and we'll see if he darkens the doorway of the new miniseries too, because I think it was always kind of our waiting for Guffman that Steve never comes on this podcast. And now I think having a podcast that's essentially all about Steve has been enlightening.
So we wanted to give you a little surprise and play the trailer for you, and then we'll come back and talk a little bit about it, and then we'll also talk from the heart and do some catch up, and whatever else happens in this family meeting is going to happen, and it'll end with poetry and music.
Family meeting. Here is the trailer for The Rise and Fall of Twin Hills.
From the creators of the hit satire Mega comes a new true crime mockumentary about the unholiest of scandals. It's The Rise and Fall of Twin Hills.
What I'm about to tell you is so dumb, it could run for Congress.
Twin Hills Community Church is a 10,000-member megachurch in Broad Ripple, Indiana, where you can find a food court, a lazy river, and a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And behind it all, it's enigmatic pastor Steve Judson.
Watch what you say. He is a bit of a sex pest. I can say that. That's not a legal term. It's a British term.
My name is Grant Haish. I'm a food blogger and now podcaster who has stumbled upon the biggest story of my career. It's about Jesus, chicken nuggets, weird sex, Bible stuff, and 100 other things that I don't have time to mention in this ad. So come, follow me as I stop at nothing to uncover the truth of a church that is too big to fail.
And then he cast me aside as if I was some sort of Judas. He's the Judas. If there's a top five Judases, he's the number one Judas.
Follow Mega and listen to our new miniseries, The Rise and Fall of Twin Hills, starting May 21st, wherever you get your podcasts.
That was the trailer.
Pretty fun.
Pretty fun. We want to give a shout out especially to that theme song, Joel Hansen, who some of you might know as the former lead man of PFR, Pray for Rain. Cracked that amazing, amazing song wide open for us when we said, hey, we want to do a parody of Rise and Fall of Mars Hill. Can you give us a slapper? And he really delivered.
He makes it look easy. He's so good.
He really does. He really does. Yeah, so something that came up in that is that I wanted to attack it from the point of view. The Christianity Today one came from someone who knew a ton about church, obviously, and church culture. And I wanted to attack this from the point of view of someone who doesn't know anything about it. And so my character is just a food blogger who's trying to get his food blog off the ground and stumbles into Twin Hills to review the new Chick-fil-A that's in the food court and gets into a mystery of sorts that he doesn't really want a part of or feels like he has to chase the story down, but he's really just wanting to drive people to his blog.
I'm really excited for you to hear it. And the process of it, I think, is kind of interesting, too, because I think the way you built this, Greg, is a lot of... It's based on the tradition that we come from in terms of improv and sketch comedy, where a lot of times we would create sketch through improv. So we would get together and improvise through different ideas and try it different ways until eventually it got sketched out. And I think that's, I love how you've designed this piece that way, where you bring in great guests who are killer improvisers, and then the story starts to take shape through the improv, and then you have to create kind of the skeleton to hang all the improvised scenes on and make them all make sense. And so it's like a cool mixture of both improv funny as well as like some crafting.
Right. Yeah, all the dialogue is totally improvised, and then all the writing is written, all the narration is written, all the writing is written. That's some good writing there.
It's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace. May is Mental Health Awareness Month, and Talkspace, the leading virtual therapy provider, is encouraging people to talk it out in therapy. By talking or texting with a supportive, licensed therapist at Talkspace, you'll gain insights, discover truths, and experience breakthroughs that will improve how you live and how you feel. With Talkspace, just answer a few questions online, and you'll be matched with a therapist. And because you'll meet your therapist online, you don't have to take time off work or arrange childcare. You'll meet on your schedule, whenever you feel most at ease. Plus, Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members only pay a $25 copay or less. No insurance? No problem. If you want to make progress toward a mentally healthier place, Talkspace is here for you. Now get $80 off your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
Writing shout out solidarity to Greg here, who is currently on strike. His union.
I guess I technically, what it should be pencils down, but I've been typing this one, so not on strike for the podcast. But yeah, there's a big strike in Hollywood right now. If anybody's been paying attention, I hope you have. I hope you'll call up Netflix or send them a mean email and say I'm about to cancel my Netflix, or if you feel like canceling your Netflix right now for until the strike's over, that might be a good way to show some solidarity. I'm not saying that you have to, but it would be nice to let them know that you support writers.
So Greg is technically supposed to be on the picket line 4 hours a day, Monday through Friday, and he's been showing up. And
I'm not putting my full 4 hours. I'm not being the best picketer, but I am going.
You're getting there. You're just trying to also work at the same time so that we don't end up starved naked outdoors.
That's right. Yeah, you know, I've never been a part of a strike before, and there's some really cool parts to it. I've loved the solidarity and the energy and people showing up. We are out in front of the gates of a lot of the studios, and just the number of drivers honking, truck drivers, everybody from passengers to a bus driver stopped yesterday, and we had a brief conversation as he was waiting at the light, where he said, "Yeah, the bus company didn't want to pay us either. Like, I'm with you and stuff." So that was cool. And then there's a ton of, you know, there is fear to it, because I think any collective action comes with a ton of there's fear, and there's doubt, and there's the worry, I guess, that it won't pan out in a way that is good, and that the pain's for nothing. And of course you don't know, and you know, this strike, I don't know if people know a lot about it, but I think the big headlines are it's just become harder and harder to make a living in Hollywood while writing or acting, and
in the whole industry.
Yeah, in the whole industry. And while the studios and the streamers really continue to make money hand over fist, and it doesn't trickle down. And we had the golden age of TV, apparently, with 600 plus original television shows. And the data has shown that wages just continue to fall. And it's harder and harder to make a living with shorter orders of shows. And, you know, they kind of trying to make writers into an Uber driving job.
Yeah, trying to turn it into a gig economy. And it getting so top heavy, like all of this late stage capitalist nightmare, but where the CEO, these dickhead CEOs of Netflix and Disney and all of this, they're all making like $50 million a year salary, plus all their stock options, plus all their profit.
Right.
And I think, and then the writers who are slogging it out and creating the shows, like, actually can't pay their bills, actually can't get healthcare, actually, right, all of that stuff. So, and like another scary part of it is that it could go a really long time. Like, people are kind of saying, what if it's August or September? What if it goes a long time? The last one went 100 days, and that was in 2007.
Yeah.
And if this goes a long time, like, my sister contacted me the other day. Her husband writes for a TV show, and it's just, and they have three kids, and it's so hand to mouth as it is. And so now that he's receiving zero income, and also because striking is considered quitting, you can't get unemployment.
Yep.
And so you're really strapped. And I think they're like, they're really white knuckling it and wringing their hands and being like, whoa, like, if this goes long, they're in big, big trouble. It'll come down to like, what? Like, because you can't take another job. Do you just borrow money from family or beg, borrow, and plead or whatever?
And I think a lot of people are in that position. And another big contentious talking point / bargaining point is the use of AI and artificial intelligence, which, if anybody's messed around on ChatGPT or any of these things, don't get me started. If you've listened to the Mega Mini recently, you've probably heard me bitch about AI in some...
Greg did full-on existential crisis.
Yeah, I was in a free fall with the AI problem for a while because... of kind of the big thing with this is that all of this material is essentially reappropriated from original material. So what's stopping Disney from taking all their Marvel movies and dumping them into an AI and spitting out the next one when you have enough content to, I mean, you could even think about Mega as being a possible victim of AI. You know, someone could, we have thousands of hours of our, or hundreds of hours at least, of our voice. You know, you could essentially make artificial episodes of Mega. It's the same way. You could just spit out scripts. And I think it's a job killer, and I think it's worrisome that the guild is trying to get protections in place and the studios won't even negotiate on that point.
They won't even counter. They're just saying no with no counter.
They're saying, we'll meet on it every year. Have a meeting on it every year.
Yeah.
Oh, thanks. Great.
Fuck that bullshit. And the, I mean, we knew chatbot, we knew that AI was coming first for the visual artists, second for the literary artists, and it's already here. It's coming for us. And who, I don't know who's next, lawyers. Like, you're not going to have to go to a lawyer if you can just have like documents, you know, created, legal documents created by a chatbot. Like, it's just, and I think, it's not just scary with AI replacing us, but also a cool thing might be happening inside of it, which is my girl Katie Rich was talking to me about this because she's kind of like on the inside of a lot of this with the WGA, is that an amazing thing is happening, which is a bunch of other unions are coming in solidarity. I'm not a WGA member, but I'm a SAG member, and SAG is showing up at these. The Teamsters are showing up at these. Like, the other unions are starting to come together in solidarity, which actually might be able to effect change.
I think it's encouraging. I still think that we have a long way to go, and I think the AI point is, it's a really tough one. I think we'll look back at these few years of transition into this next stage of whatever technology is going to become to us. And I hope we don't say, I wonder what the hell happened, but that's my fear. And I think, you know, for people like us, who make a living doing this, I think it's a bigger question of what gives you value, where do you place your expertise? It's not for nothing that we spent over 10,000 hours learning this skill. And to have that be instantaneously achieved through artificial means, it's not just about the capital of that expertise. It's about meaning and what gives your life meaning, and what are you waking up to do? And I think that's the scariest part of it. I have a real fear/worry that we're going to lose what it means to have expertise or life experience doing a thing and doing it well.
While idiocracy also seems to be on the increasing.
Yeah. I mean, maybe AI will decreasing. Just write a bunch of movies of people getting kicked in the nuts, and then we'll know that we've fully arrived.
But good things could come from it, in that one of the biggest sticking points with this particular strike is that the streamer, like Netflix and Apple TV and Disney and all of these, they don't have to report. You don't know what shows are doing well and how. So if you have a hit show, you should be compensated for that.
Right.
But there's no way of knowing with the streamers what any of the profit is. So the streamers right now are all of these big, what's it called? The
AMPTP.
AMPTP.
Yeah.
The AMPTP, all of the big, you know, Netflix and all of them, they are saying to the writers that they don't have money to pay the writers. And they are simultaneously saying to their investors and their shareholders that they have a shit ton of money.
and that business is great.
So what's true? Is our times tight, or is business booming? And so that kind of transparency and all of this like corporate culture and these big, massive, top heavy overlords, like hopefully some of the solidarity that happens in our industry will then start to appear in others, because I feel like it's just going to start moving through the economy.
Yeah, I think it's a weird time too to be someone who is, I saw some graph the other day of number of hospital administrators over the last 10 years compared to the number of doctors and nurses. And the number of doctors and nurses was a flat line, essentially, maybe even going down a bit. And hospital administrators was just a line up and to the right. And it just kind of shows that we've bloated these institutions at the top with, I mean, sorry if you're a hospital administrator, but there's nothing to administrate if you don't have doctors and nurses. Those are the people actually doing the medicine. And it's the same. I kind of think of Hollywood is the same way. We have a lot of people at the top that get to take their piece of a pie that is only in existence because of people like me and you thinking up the thing.
Yeah.
And so it feels like a strange time. It feels like everything's sort of bobbleheaded and we're starving the body a bit, or a lot, as it were. So, yep.
Man, don't get me started. Best. I had to go to the doctor, OBGYN, my OB-GYN Kenobi, if I may steal a Beth Stelling joke. I was at my OB-GYN Kenobi and had to pay the copay. And then they were like, oh, and there's also this, you know, $100 that your insurance didn't cover. And also then there's this fee for being here today. And then there's also, and then they handed me a piece of paper and they're like, oh, you have to sign this. And I read it and it was like, now to be seen by your doctor, it'll be $150 cash fee just for us to be able to cover some of what the insurance carriers are doing to us. And it's like, wait, what? And this has happened. I'm trying to find a primary care physician right now. And every single office that I go to try to make it, they're like, okay, it's a $300 annual membership fee. And I'm like, just to...
What is this, a spa?
Just, right? And just being nickeled and dimed out the ass. And also, you're just stuck between a rock and a hard place. And that now, because of all this big corp, like an insurance company is this big middleman that is just bloated with wealth and stopping. I asked my OB-GYN Kenobi, I was like, could you also do a breast exam while I'm here? Because I haven't had one in a long time.
And what did he say?
She was like, my doctor was like, actually, I can't on the same visit that I do this other thing. You have to come in at another date if I'm to check your... And I'm like, what? Because insurance says, like, you can't... I can't even... I'm there with her right now. Like,
yeah. That reminds me of an old... Sorry, my mind just went back to an old Second City Blackout, which is a short sketch. Do you remember? Would this still be... Can you still do this one?
Oh, which the is, one with the girl with the feet in her the feet in the stirrups.
Well, it's in a chair, and the doctor comes in and says, "Mrs. Johnson, I'm sorry to let you know, but I found a lump on your breast." And she says, "You're a dentist."
Oh yeah,
remember that? You could still do that one, I think.
Yeah,
I think the target is well placed still. Yeah, that might be a timeless one.
There is the most timeless of all was the a Second City Blackout called A-Bill, where a husband is sitting reading the newspaper and the wife walks in and is like, "Oh wait, I just messed it up." He's like, he's reading the paper and he's like, "What do you think about this
new abortion bill?
And the wife just goes, "Pay it."
Don't you feel like all the screw jobs that keep happening at various levels, whether it's healthcare, employment, AI, voting, there's been a market move within our peer group, and I would love to know if people are hearing this from your friends, which is they want to unplug and move somewhere and start a commune, essentially. be close to other people.
It's such a common refrain now.
Everyone, all of our friends are on this one. And I kind of want to ask my parents if that was the spirit going into the 70s from them too, because, well, they didn't live in a commune, but I lived in a place really close to a commune, and a lot of my friends lived on a commune. And it had to be a reaction to, you know, Vietnam and sort of the dark outlook of the 60s and 70s. And I wonder, I would like to talk to them. I just wonder if any listeners are also going through this, which is wanting to disconnect and not be part and parcel to this bloody economy.
It is a dream. I've always had a dream of like some freshwater lake with little darling cabins around it, and it's all just friends that live around this place, and everyone has their, you know, one person is a massage therapist, one person is a gardener, you know, we all play our part in this utopia.
One person specializes in makeshift weapons and edible roots. One person can make penicillin.
My
I guess I'm going full apocalypse style, and you're thinking about it like the cover of Garden and Gun.
I'm gonna keep you around because you're an Eagle Scout and you know about trees, and you can what's it called when you take a fish out of the water and you
fillet?
You can fillet a fish. You can, and you can start fires. You can like
I don't know if filleting fish is gonna help us stop the AI, but we'll see. Maybe. Maybe. But don't you feel that is a common refrain? I mean, maybe that's just a...
I have a few dear friends who are really bordering on straight up prepper stuff. My friend Sunny is starting to cultivate seeds and collect seeds for being able to like...
Okay, Sunny's in.
Make food. Sunny's in. She can come.
Yeah, if any of you have a marketable skill that we can... Or not a non-marketable skill that can help in the apocalypse. But
Katie was telling me... my girl Katie was like, "Oh yeah, I have got those... survival guide, like how to survive a bear attack or whatever, all those different things." She's like, "I have all of those in hard copies because like we won't have phones and there won't be internet and all that." So I have like, I'm collecting books.
This is crazy that we're talking about this. I mean, you realize this is also what Jim Baker is talking about as he sells buckets full of oats that you can eat in 15 years from your underground silo.
Yeah,
I mean, are we all just talking about the same thing? The eschaton?
Right. Is it all going to be fine? Is this like when all the grown-ups freaked out when MTV came on the scene?
Or the atom bomb? Maybe. Yeah, maybe, but maybe it's just a human response to uncertainty.
Fine. Yeah,
but I do
sure.
think that we're in a much different type of uncertainty. It feels too fast, I think, is the... To me, it feels too fast. Everything feels like it's moving too fast, and you want to slow it down.
You ain't wrong about that.
You want to slow it down.
Where are the brakes? Where are the brakes?
Everything's going to be A-OK, AOC. Everything's going to come up AOC.
Because I really value truth, misinformation really, really scares me. And that's why I'm excited to tell you about Conspirituality, a podcast that dismantles new age cults, wellness grifters, and conspiracy mad yogis. At their best, they attack public health efforts in times of crisis. And at their worst, it's like they're recruiting for the fever dream of QAnon. On Conspirituality, you will have a journalist, a cult researcher, and a philosophical skeptic all discussing stories and cult dynamics and helping educate us and using proven science as their guiding light. I really recommend the Jordan Klepper episode talking about creating comedy in the MAGAverse. Jordan's incredible. And I also really love the Medical Medium episode. It's really good, and not just because I've had my own weird experiences with mediums. From exploring cults to analyzing our cultural and political landscape, the Conspirituality podcast will help you stay informed against misinformation and resist fear tactics. Find Conspirituality on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Because I really value truth, misinformation really, really scares me. And that's why I'm excited to tell you about Conspirituality, a podcast that dismantles new age cults, wellness grifters, and conspiracy mad yogis. At their best, they attack public health efforts in times of crisis. And at their worst, it's like they're recruiting for the fever dream of QAnon. On Conspirituality, you will have a journalist, a cult researcher, and a philosophical skeptic all discussing stories and cult dynamics and helping educate us and using proven science as their guiding light. I really recommend the Jordan Klepper episode talking about creating comedy in the MAGAverse. Jordan's incredible. And I also really love the Medical Medium episode. It's really good, and not just because I've had my own weird experiences with mediums. From exploring cults to analyzing our cultural and political landscape, the Conspirituality podcast will help you stay informed against misinformation and resist fear tactics. Find Conspirituality on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Things coming up that make my little heart go pitter-pat. Brian McLaren's coming on, and some of you may know his name. He's very special and lovely, and back when I was living in mega church culture, I met him really briefly, and I really liked him because he seemed to have his head on his shoulders and not be one of those like Jesus and John Wayne kind of authoritarian like church dudes. And he had a lot of heart, and I recently found out that he listened to Mega, so I contacted him and was like, you want to talk? And I think I cried twice while we were talking.
Oh, really?
Over the phone. So sweet. So gentle. He's so incredible. And he's a guy who I was just like, hey, well, describe him, Greg, in case people don't know him.
Brian McLaren?
Yeah.
I mean, I only know him sort of reputationally. I don't even know. I've never read his books.
He comes from the world of Christianity, and he wrote a lot of books and stuff, but he has stayed evolving with the dialogue about some people coming to a place of realizing the harm that world has caused in their life, and other people not understanding how something that can be, you know, a lot of Christians, I think, just cannot understand how something that is so helpful and life-giving and beneficial and positive to them can result in religious trauma, etc., to other people. So he and I have had an initial conversation about how he could play a role on a mega episode. And in that personal conversation we had, it was like a nice heart to heart. And I was like, Brian, I don't know. I remember you kind of being a big Christian leader type back in the day, but I don't even know how you describe yourself now. And I don't even know how to describe myself, so I hate asking that of other people.
Hot.
Nice. But he was like, I was like, are you still a believer? How do you describe yourself? And he was like, I have not left the world of Christendom because of the potential harm that I see it's capable of. I want to hang in, even if it's from the inside, and help reduce harm. I hope I'm not misrepresenting him in that way, but you'll see when he comes on. It'll be fun. We're going to do it Jen Hatmaker style, where we play Hallie and Gray and he plays himself. And that's coming down the road. And then I also have a fun episode coming out where I play Day, and Day interviews Bart Campolo. And they have a conversation where Day is asking Bart about what the emotional experience is of being a son of an evangelical leader, being a son who is now grown. Like, Day was really curious about, like, what's it like to still be a child of a person, but now you're a grown up too. And they really kind of, Day and me and Bart really got into it, because Bart is, I think, a really special, cool, interesting person. He has a podcast called Humanize Me. He and I used to do ministry together, like, way back in the day, and then discovered later that both of us had moved from that world of being believers to kind of being whatever the hell we
achievers.
Are now.
Achievers.
To just being hot.
Just being hot. Yeah, and that's a good word. If you want to get those full episodes, you could be a Patreon member.
So those are coming on.
There's another great plug
coming
for
on down the line. And speaking of religious trauma, which is something that we kind of get into in these mini episodes midweek, I have found myself in a tricky spot lately, because my religious trauma has really reared up in a way that it is very present and on the surface and bigger than it has been in a while. And I think that long term is good news, and I'm ecstatic, because I think maybe it's I'm in a growth cycle, but I've found it extremely painful. And things that I thought I had long since kind of come to peace with, or put away, or put to bed, or things that I thought I had squeezed out of my sponge are kind of back and big. And it's been very interesting to be continuing to run a comedy podcast about this, like, while my religious trauma is really flared. And I've been learning a lot. And it's kind of coming from a few different angles. I've been taking this class. I've talked about it on here on the mini before, but I've been in a 12-week class that is concluding next week, called Embodied Sexuality, working through the effects of purity culture, and trying to use movement and therapeutic movement and reading a lot of research and everything to kind of work through some of the PTSD from purity culture. So that has been coming up big time, as well as some personal family crisis stuff that I've had around, like, kind of finally having that, like, very forthright conversation with my family in terms of being very honest about who I am in no uncertain terms, even though that might be unacceptable to them and hard for them to hear, and hard for us to figure out how to navigate the nature of our relationship moving forward. Also, inside of that, I've started a new somatic breath therapy weekly. I'm in therapy with a somatic breath therapist, and that is really, really, really hard and challenging and difficult, but effective. Whoa, Nelly. Like, what I had wanted out of talk therapy for years is happening here in the somatic breath space. But it's it's kind of hard to talk about, but its efficacy is sort of undeniable, but it's things are coming out of my body that I thought I had already dealt with. But what I'm realizing is that I dealt with it intellectually and my body didn't get the memo. And there's a little bit of really simple things coming out that have been stored in my body that needed that release. And I think one of the things I'm learning is that I am a people pleaser in a way that is self-abandonment. But the flip side of that people pleasing is I think a lot of my people pleasing comes from avoiding conflict because I don't have the skills for conflict that I need, and I shut down. And so I have a lot to learn in terms of fighting and conflict and breathing and not shutting down. And all of that is happening at once. And I guess what I'm realizing is that in trying to get back into my body and sort of unify in that way and not being dissociated, the way back into your body, like, so say, you know, the trauma that I experienced that made my soul leap out of my body, what I'm learning is that to come back into your body, you come back in at the level of big emotion that made you leave. Like, you come back in the same door. So the big thing that made you leap is what's waiting when you come back. And that is really interesting and hard to navigate, especially when you feel like you don't have these skills. Another thing that I, skills in terms of being able to manage it, because another thing I've noticed, and especially with you, Greg, is that I also don't have, up until now, I haven't had the ability to be accompanied when I experience emotion as a physical process. So even sharing it with someone, I think some of this stuff is coming out now because I do have finally the support system in place and I do feel safe enough that my body's a little bit like, okay, time to take the garbage out, you know, because like you can do it now. Because a huge part of me is like, why now? Why is this happening now? Am I going crazy? And I've sort of hesitated to talk about it. And it's been hard for me to do minis lately because part of me is like, nobody should listen to anything I have to say. And I really believe that. Like, it's too big. It's too messy. It's too scary. It's too confusing. And so I've gotten kind of quiet about it, but I'm trying to come back out. But it's one of those things where there's a lot of things you don't know that you don't know. But when you start to see some of the things that you don't know and realize how much you don't know, it becomes overwhelming. And I'm like, man, I have so much work to do.
Yeah.
And
the known unknowns.
Yeah. And so, yeah. So if you want more talk like this, come on over to the minis.
We should start fighting on the minis, really, like, knock down drag outs just like, as practice.
It sounds like she's crying. No thanks. It'll be like, I don't know if any of you saw the Jason Isbell and Amanda Pearl Shires documentary, but we were like, yikes. We don't want to do that to anybody here. Okay.
Well, thanks for sharing that, Holly. And I think that is cool for people who want to dig a little bit deeper on what's going on behind the scenes to know.
Whew, right? Yeah.
The ultimate BTS. Behind the scenes. BTS. Wait, is that also a Korean pop group? K-pop group?
This is the ultimate BDSM. Working through religious trauma. Okay, this is a good one. And then Greg is going to grace you with some great new song that will be added to the Mega Mini Spotify playlist. This is called The Neighborhood So Far by Ron Carlson. If my heart is a house, then it stands on your street, in the little village where you are paperboy, mailman, garbage collector, water meter reader, building inspector, vacuum cleaner salesman, UPS driver, yard crew, chimney sweep, window washer, tax assessor, magazine solicitor, census taker, snow shoveler, house painter, voyeur, door-to-door scam artist, vandal, burglar, thief, extortionist, thief, burglar, thief, arsonist, arsonist, arsonist.
Inside my head, and my imagination tends to turn on me instead. I can't help that worry makes the frame of my bed. Oh, help me, I fear I don't even know the worst of it. I've been fooled in all directions. What makes this any different? For this lack of evidence, I'd die a thousand deaths by my suspicion. What is wrong with me? At my touch, skin turns to salt. I'm a winged creature, learn to crawl back to the arms of my suspicion. I walk along invisible roads, filled with critics that agree and oppose. I just do exactly as I'm told.
Our kids have said to us since we've moved to Minnesota, we are far more active than we've ever been anywhere else we've ever lived.
Moving to Minnesota opened up a lot of doors for us.
Just this overall sense of community, of values that, you know, Minnesotans have.
It's a real accepting, loving community, especially with two young kids.
See what makes Minnesota the star of the North. New residents share why they love calling it home at exploreminnesota.com/live.
Our kids have said to us since we've moved to Minnesota, we are far more active than we've ever been anywhere else we've ever lived.
Moving to Minnesota opened up a lot of doors for us.
Just this overall sense of community, of values that, you know, Minnesotans have.
It's a real accepting, loving community, especially with two young kids.
See what makes Minnesota the star of the North. New residents share why they love calling it home at exploreminnesota.com/live.